Rumblestorm.
All right, everybody, welcome to Living the Scream.
Oh,
let's try it. That's okay. Hey, everyone, welcome to Living the Scream, the behind the scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
With your hosts,
Janet J, also known as Janet Decay.
And James Harmon, also known as Grim Gory, the monkey. Yes, it's raining here in Clevetown tonight, this Sunday, late Memorial Day night.
It's a dark and stormy night.
Yeah.
Perfect weather for us.
Not even, yeah, we love it, but the rest of the town, I don't know. We're looking for some nice weather, some sunshine. But,
You probably hear that in the background.
Yeah, if you hear rumbling or raining, that's what's going on.
Why? From our living room in Cleveland.
Yes, sir. We're in front of our cozy little fireplace full of plastic blow-molded Halloween decorations.
Yes, our glowing pumpkins in the fireplace.
Okay, and let's start the show off with our show shot. We are drinking shots out of, by the way, tonight. These, what are they, Mario Jump?
They're Mario shot glasses, but yeah. Not shot glasses of Mario himself, of the little green pipes Mario and Luigi would go through.
Yeah, the jump pipes, right? They're called or something like that?
Something like that.
All right, but they
warp pipes, jump pipes.
Yeah.
But these are the little green pipes from Mario.
You should know that. Yeah, they're plastic cups. And tonight in my plastic cup, I have a shot of apple pie. Ooh.
I have, as always, my favorite, Jack Daniels.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
All right, here we go. And
Chars.
Mmm. Ooh, smooth.
Ooh. And I'm chasing it with coffee.
Oh, boy.
A weird chaser.
Talking about Irishing up your coffee. I don't know what that would be.
I guess Irishing up the coffee.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, the Memorial Day weekend is not over for us. We have another day off tomorrow from work.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
And we're going to head out to a big, giant flea market and hopefully find some cool stuff for our Thrift Crypt store.
Yes, the Hartville Flea Market. We have never gone before. Heard a lot of great things about it.
Yeah.
I think it's down by Kent, Ohio somewhere, so we still need to map it out.
Yeah, but it's going to be an early morning and hopefully a good day.
It's the thrill of the hunt, so we're on the lookout for some cool new items for the shop.
Yeah. So tonight, we're going to get the show rolling here. Most of the show we can talk about. I'm thinking that we should discuss... discuss comedy, because we do attempt to write comedic bits and skits to stay in the tradition of like the shows that we're inspired by, like Big Chuck and Little John Show,
The Ghoul, Super Host.
Yeah, they all did skits and basically a comedy based show when they were on in their breaks in between the movies.
Right, and keyword attempt.
Yeah, we are not professionals by any means, but we are having a lot of fun and doing our best. And we have a special guest tonight to discuss comedy, a guy who should know it better than anybody else in the room tonight. His name is Todd Youngman. He's a good friend of mine. Went to college with him in Pittsburgh, and he is a real live comedian. That's
right. The
monkey
went to school?
The monkey gave it a shot and went to school, and you know. And here I is. So anyway, he'll be on, he's going to be on with us in a few seconds here. I'm going to play some of his comedy
act. A couple minutes.
Yeah, a little bit of his comedy. And we'll be right back with him after I play this from Todd Youngman.
Enjoy.
This one was tough. When I was 13, a bunch of friends wanted to go to a Red Wing baseball game, but I didn't have any money. So what do you do when you don't have money? You steal it from your parents. So I took $20 from my mom, went to the game, had a great time, and then when I got home, she wanted to know where I got the $20. And she knew. She saw it out of the envelope that was in the cover. So I lied and said, Ed gave it to me. Wasn't the case. And she found this out and flipped her lid. So this time in the summer, she shipped me off to the Adirondacks to spend the summer in a camp for all Jewish kids. I'm Episcopal. That's me. How happy do I look? That was week one. And the only other non-Jewish guy is a guy in the back row with the black shirt. And the only reason he was there, because his mom was the nurse of the camp. And he'd been going there since he was six. Everybody you see in that picture had been there since they were 6 years old. Me, I show up 13, 14. I don't know a soul. I don't know any of these guys. Look at me. I'm miserable. And I remember the guy at the opposite end of me, I don't even remember his name. He was a horrible person. First day, he comes up to me and he goes, "What are you?" I go, "What's that mean?" He goes, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a boy." Like I'm f***ing Pinocchio or something. I said, "I'm a boy." He goes, "No, not that. Are you Goyim?" And that's a term that Jewish people use towards us Christians. And I had no idea what he said, but I all right, I guess so. And that's how that camp started off.
Oh, okay, yeah. That Todd, man, the boy. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. That's right. I hope you liked. I hope you thought that was funny. And matter of fact, you're going to really love him because he's here right now, all the way from Rochester, New York. Here's Todd Youngman. How you doing, Todd?
Hey.
Welcome to Living.
I am so happy to be here.
You sound so happy, man. I tell you.
No, I am. I really am. It's always a pleasure to talk to one of my oldest friends, not in age, but in years known. You know what I mean?
I think both apply now. we
yeah,
are
old. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but yeah, thanks, man. I do consider you to be a great friend as well. And man, we had some good times, some fun times in college. Todd and I were pretty much straight edgers. Actually, we only hung around people that didn't smoke anything, didn't drink anything,
or drank.
No, we thought that was funny and
nerds.
Watching people get huge nerds. And but hey, you know. Whatever.
We were funny without the use of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, and we thought we were anyway, for sure. But we would, so instead of drinking on a Friday night or hanging out and smoking pot or whatever, we would sit in our rooms and in our room. We were roommates in college. We went to Point Park College in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then we stayed at the dorms there, but we attended the Art Institute of Pittsburgh for their 2-year course. Anyway, so on a Friday or Saturday night, almost any night, instead of after we're done with our homework, we would sit down and make prank phone calls within the building
hours.
Oh my God! And I have these calls, tons of them, hours of them on cassette tapes still. Yeah, and I might play one or two of those. Go ahead, Ty. What?
And to this day, I still quote those phone calls.
And no one knows what we're talking. I do too, and no one knows what I'm talking.
Nobody does.
But who cares? Right. Now, this was before the Jerky Boys, and God, if we would have heard that back then, that could have changed everything. But
it really could have. You know, it, we didn't realize that. But I mean, it was funny to us and our friends, but we were sitting on something really good, and we missed the boat on it.
Big time. Now, the difference is that, I mean, the Jerky Boys did do something a lot different. They took things, they created characters. We had something like that going on, too, but not to the extent they did. We were just more.
No.
We were a little more just sort of calling people up at like 3 a.m. and asking them why they called us. You know, doing that kind of a reversal thing and ordering.
Yeah.
One of my
favorite
the pizza calls are probably the funniest.
Those are the best
because. Okay, so when you ordered a pizza at the college, you would have to the pizza people would come to the building into the lobby and then dial the extension to your room, and you'd come down and you'd pay for it and bring it to your room if you have it delivered.
So just to clarify this, because in case if there's youngsters listening, this is before people had cell phones, before they had pagers.
Oh yeah.
So did every dorm number have their own phone number? I take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we I still have the notes we took. Like
we logged them.
I have the notes we took. We would call somebody in the building because you could call out, but you had to dial an extension. I think it cost money to call out, or if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But anyway, we every room had an extension it's a 4-number extension, 4-digit extension, and we would keep notes when we found someone we thought was funny, and we mostly just called people that didn't know us that went to the Point Park or the college in the dorm. We didn't really bug people we knew.
Oh, okay.
But
it was so great because the best part was to call them at like 2 or 3 a.m. and wake them up.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. So funny.
I know. Just that was funny. And okay, so here's the
how
setup.
How often did you get? How many times a week did you do that?
Oh, it was anytime
that's
we could.
Almost every weeknight.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. We,
it was
weeknights too. It didn't matter.
When we felt like it. I mean, that was our outlet. You know, just to we crack each other up. We had several phones in the room. I'm pretty. Yeah, we did.
We had it all rigged up. It was awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll explain real quick. So yeah, we would call people and we'd take notes on the rooms that we thought were funny, who we called, and we would sometimes call them back. And, you know, we had this ongoing thing sometimes with people. But the setup was we had one of those suction cup microphones that you can plug into a tape recorder or a boombox. Yeah. And our other roommate, Scott, he had a boombox. It was a real nice one. And we hooked up this microphone that has, it was on a suction cup. You use it to record phone calls. You put the suction cup on the back of the one phone, you know, the earpiece, and it would record onto the, you know, a cassette tape onto on a boombox or a tape recorder. So we would do this, and I was on one phone, and I did most of the, you know, pranking, and Todd would, you can hear him in the background. He would chime in every now and again. And I wish you would have done more of them. But
no, my job was just, you were the voice guy. You did the voices so well. I fed you with lines every now and then.
Yeah, he was the man behind the curtain. He was the Great Oz, and I was just and I would sit.
So you were like the prank phone call manager, and he was the performer.
No, he's so. When you listen to, if you ever hear these calls, I'm going to say the more bizarre the subject matter, that was definitely a Todd thing.
Yeah, that was probably me.
Yeah, yeah, and when you would chime in, I loved it, and it just cracked me up. And we would that's how we would crack each other up, and you know, but we never threatened people really. It wasn't like, you know, we're going to kick your butt, nothing like that. It was always like
we got threatened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We actually almost got a guy beat up. We were pretending to be a guy. Gus.
And
that's your fault.
You told me that.
It's my fault. Totally.
You might want to explain to the listeners.
There was this guy. His name. I was now with the advent of the internet. I was looking him up. If anyone knows this guy, his name was Claude Bell, and he was called. They called him the Gusser. If you go onto the Point Park College alumni list, he's MIA. They don't even know where he is. But he was 30-some years old in college. He tended to drink quite a bit, to put it nicely. And we would pretend. He was running for class president one year. And we would just call people and ask for him to vote for him, for me. Hi, would you vote for me? And then they go, yes. And then I'd say, F you to him. And then it was just a weird thing. And then
they'd be like, what'd you say?
Yeah. Well, and then I just said, yeah, you too, you know, nothing. And I'd play it off, and we have a whole, like, I put a whole, because, you know, a 90-minute, or no, yeah, about 90 minutes of just those calls that kind of show his campaign from the, because we called him and pretended to be reporters for a newspaper and interviewed him, and then he was sober, and then we called him the same night. He's, you know, three sheets in the wind, so drunk, and so you get to hear, and then you hear me doing my impression of him, calling people, asking for votes. I probably shouldn't admit to this, but it was just in fun. No big deal.
Yeah, you're fine. It's 30 years later. You're fine.
Yeah, I think we're good. So anyway, so we would do these prank phone calls. And throughout the years, you know, I live in Cleveland and other places over the last 20-some years. And Todd, you know, it was in Rochester, New York. But we keep in touch, and we even pulled one over on a Rochester DJ, Brother Wheez.
That's right. For 3 years we did that.
Yeah, you had me call up the radio station because you would be on there sometimes. You knew him. And
I was a regular caller, just, you know, calling with nonsense. And then I thought of the idea because James did a great voice of like a black guy, you know, like an inner city black guy.
Well, I'm half black.
And so came up with this premise. Yeah, right. And we came up with the premise that you found a $5 bill, said call Brother Wheez for prizes. You called, and then boom, Romel was born.
Yeah, Romel. And so Todd was like, he would, you know, call me and ask me to call in real quick if I could. I usually do it in the morning before I go to work. And I'll be like, Romel, what's up, Brother Wheez? What's up, man? And it sounds better on the phone. But they were buying into it, and Todd would give me some like bizarre thing to talk about to him, and it went over well. We taped these. We have some of these on cassette as well. And I've even heard them played on the Best Of shows, right? They would play them on the Wheez.
They still play them to this day.
Oh.
What station is that out there?
Oh.
It's on, it was on WCMF in Rochester, but now it's something else. I don't know what they're called. I listen to satellite radio now.
Okay, so let's interview Todd. So that's a little bit of the background of he and I and how we're connected here.
And you're going to play clips later.
I already did. You didn't hear it?
Oh, you know what I was getting?
Did you play Frank Calls?
I think she had to run to the Little Mummy's room. What's that?
Did you play any of the Frank Calls?
I'm going to play them later on in the show. I played some of your comedy before we had you on. But now we're going to talk to Todd. We're going to interview Todd.
Yes. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Todd. Hi again. We're going to ask you, I mean, you started doing stand-up kind of fairly recently, yeah? I mean, like several years ago you started?
Probably 8 years ago now.
Wow. Okay. It's been that long. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Now, tell the folks how you started getting into stand-up comedy.
Well, I got into comedy just because growing up, you know, as a teenager, you know, you screw around the house, you act like a teenager. And, you know, my dad always used to tell me, you know, you should get into comedy. And I'm like, no, I could never do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then my 20s came around and, you know, I went to college and I always thought about doing it. And that's why I love that outlet of working with you on those prank phone calls, because that's an extension of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got out of college, I'm like, I'm going to give it a shot. But then I totally chickened out because I cared what people thought of me.
Yeah.
So I bailed on the whole idea. Then I met my wife and we had kids and, you know, now I'm got to be a dad and I'm going to raise my family. And so I totally backburnered the whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
So as both my kids got older and, you know, they got to that age where, you know, not that you don't need a dad around, but I could go do stuff like this.
Right.
I decided to do it. I gave it a shot. I went to an open mic.
Yep.
And I did 5 minutes. I got laughs. And it was addictive to me. It was like my drug. I'm like, I got to keep doing this. And, you know, right after that, the club manager came up to me and told me, you should really pursue this. And I did. And I just continued to write and write. And here I am now, still doing it today, you know.
That is interesting because you headline too now. So that's
awesome. I do headline, yeah.
Yeah, and you've had a few one-man shows?
I've had one-man show. But mm-hmm. I headline, like I do a lot of parties outside of comedy clubs, which are great gigs because they pay really well. Mm-hmm. And the audiences are really great. But I've headlined a couple shows at comedy clubs. But I'm mainly a feature act. That's the guy in the middle between the host and the headliner.
See, that's good. And it was fun to watch all that. Now, I didn't even know that that you tried to do it earlier, like right out of college. I had no idea. That's cool to know.
Well, never in Pittsburgh. I always thought about it, you know, because they had a club there. And it was over in Station Square.
Oh.
And every time I'd see it, I'd be like, I got to give it a shot. And I'd see that they'd have open mics. But I just, you know, I couldn't get the guts to do it. You know, because you're in your 20s, you still give a crap about what people think.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Once you get older and you're like in your 30s, you're like, I don't care what anybody thinks about me.
Right, right. It might
get so, up. Yeah. So I gave it a shot, you know, once the kids were older and 8 years ago, and I'm still doing it. I love it. It's the best.
Yeah, and actually, folks, if you're, you should check this guy's Facebook out. If you need a daily laugh, and even if you go back into his posts, my God, there's some really, really good stuff, man. I run in and tell people when you write some stuff, I get up at work, and I go, hey,
look at my friend.
Oh yeah, man, there's some really, really good stuff. It's like, damn, I have killer material. So that's the thing, you know. Go ahead.
That's where I Facebook is my. It's where I try out my material. I'll come up with a basis of an idea.
Yeah.
I'll put it up there, and then if I go by, if it gets a lot of likes and comments, I know it's hitting a nerve with people and they're relating to the topic.
Yeah.
But then I'll take that topic and then kind of turn it into a bit. So
yeah.
It's a great platform for me.
Yeah, to throw some stuff against and see. That's cool too. So Facebook can be a tool for that as well.
Interesting
for comedy. That is awesome, man. So I mean, on our show we do comedy bits and skits and things like that, and you know, and our inspiration is basically what we grew up with watching locally on the show, the movie hosted shows that we
Like the late night movie hosts, because they would do like these really dorky, cheesy comedy bits. You know, Big Chicken, Little John, Super Hosts.
Yeah.
Did you have any horror hosts in Rochester growing up? Like
we never did. We had these two local guys. It's called Life Without Shame, and they were just two buffoons, two meatheads, and they'd go around Rochester. They go to strip joints. They go to local restaurants. That was like the closest thing we had to it. Nothing. that took talent or anything, you know?
Yeah, but you probably saw Elvira growing up. And
oh, yeah. That, and also that woman on the USA Network, Rhonda
Shearer. Rhonda Shearer. Right. Yeah, yep. Right. Up All Night. Yeah. I think she was not with
Not Bill. That that was a horror show, but
oh, yeah, it was, yeah,
horrible but, movies.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I was going to say, so inspiration. I mean, I know you probably have a ton of comedians that you listen to. I always see you always put up albums of, LP, vinyl LPs, comedy. I just picked up a couple Mom's Mabley ones at a flea market a few weeks ago. Yeah, I can't wait to listen to those. So, I mean, I hate to ask that question, but do you have a favorite or favorites? Let's put it that way, because I know it's hard to pick one.
I'm a true student and fan of comedy. I can respect everybody who stood on a stage and done comedy and tried it out. Because I know what it's like to stand up there and be the lone guy. And James, I know you've tried it before and you know how difficult it
is. Oh boy, I got the proof, man. There's one show I never published that it was so bad. But I still have it.
You know what it's like, so you can respect when a comic goes up and just totally kills a room.
Right? I don't know. Yeah, so, it's amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so my comic, my favorite all time is Don Rickles, and then right after that it would be Kevin Meaney, who is actually a good friend of mine.
Yeah,
and then a comedian named Bill Burr, who's he's more recent now. So
yeah,
but those are my top three.
Yeah, those are, unfortunately, the first two you mentioned passed away recently.
That's right, yeah.
And, I saw that you were buddies with Bill, with Meaney, Kevin Meaney. That's, I didn't know
that. Yeah, Kevin, that was the greatest thing when I got into comedy. Like, back in, when I got to college, Kevin used to perform in Rochester all the time at Yuck Yuck's Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. And my dad and I had actually seen him on, he had a great HBO special. Ooh. And we heard he was coming to town. And so we went to see him and we loved it. And every time Kevin would come to town, we would go together. It became our thing. Like whenever, every year he came, we'd go see Kevin Meaney.
Uh-huh.
And I never in a million years thought that I would meet this guy and not only meet him, but work with him.
Yeah.
And then, fast forward up to recent times, I've worked with him numerous times. He became a good friend. I'm friends with his ex-wife and his daughter.
Wow.
And right before the week he died, we just started writing. He asked me to help him write his new Netflix special. And that Monday we started writing and he goes, we were writing and he goes, let's talk again on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, great. So I texted him Friday morning and I didn't get any response. So I just figured he was busy. And then later that night, his agent had texted me that he had passed away during the day.
Oh my!
It was just a weird thing,
Yeah. Okay. So that was the fellow, the comedian you're going to write. I saw you post that, and you do. Yeah. I don't think you really gave a lot of details because you wanted to, probably make sure it's going to happen. Before you get into it, that you were going to be working on a Netflix special with somebody helping to write. And that's right. Big. I know. Man, that's awesome. Well,
that's why I was kind of keeping it under wraps.
Yeah.
And just keeping it kind of cryptic. And then, it started. I was about to announce that I was doing it, and then he passed away. So it would have been great to have a writing credit on Netflix, but it just wasn't meant to be. Maybe it'll happen in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think it will. I mean, you got all the trappings, all the makings of a stand-up, man. And it is a tough thing. I did try it. And when I was in Virginia Beach, I went to a few open mic nights, wrote some stuff. And those books are those notebooks. And that was fun. I did love writing. I loved trying to come up with funny stuff. And how do you know it's funny? If it makes you laugh, I guess that's one thing. But it has to make everyone else laugh, I guess, to be a successful person.
Yeah, it could be funny in front of you in your mirror as long as you want. But put it in front of a crowd, you get a whole different reaction,
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that I can make people laugh. But it's more when I do stuff that they're familiar, it's like inside joke stuff, but to write something that everyone or a huge percentage of a room that you're playing or doing something like, and what we do, we try to write something, we don't know who's going to see this. So, we're not performing in front of anybody. So we have to hope.
But when you do your appearances, you do stuff, right?
Yeah, but
yeah, we've done a few live appearances, and it's
we need to work out more routines. Like
we do,
like
yes, definitely.
Abbott and Costello type stuff. You know, we.
But are you doing what? Are you doing crowd work, off the cuff stuff? What is it?
A little bit of both. Actually, yeah. But the last times we performed, we wrote some bits and actually did live versions of some of the skits that we do. One's called "Giggles from the Grave." That's we kind of stole the hee haw idea from jumping up behind the. Remember that show when they would jump up from behind the corn stalks and tell jokes? Well, we have a version of that where we come up from behind gravestones and tell little jokes.
Tombstones.
Yeah, tombstones that we write. You know, we write these bad jokes, but we write them. We don't get a joke book out, crack it open, and
you tell a little joke.
Yeah, we make up, you know, silly things, and mostly your horror or monster related ish type stuff, or you know, or goofy things our characters would just, you know.
Or yeah, something goofy.
Yeah, like what do you get when you cross an arm with a mallet? I don't know. The other person says, "Beats me." And the other person says, okay, and they pick a mallet up and start beating me, you know? Yeah, beats me. That, you know,
it's like cartoony dumb stuff.
I think hee-haw stole that idea from laughing.
Oh, maybe. So there you go. So there's a lot of, now that's a whole other subject than comedy. You can borrow certain things, I guess. Like that, to me, that's a format, but in stand-up, that's a big no-no to borrow so much jokes because those things. Yeah, I know. You know what I mean? It's steel.
Yeah, I know some people go up and do it straight up copy.
Yeah, word for word.
Oh. I know. I don't know how they do it.
And
it's
you
not
have
like you're going up and covering a band.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And and you know what? Unless you can retool that joke, that's the other thing about comedy writing. When you get into the intricacies of it, it's all about, they say, the timing. That's true. And also the way the words work with each other. A funny bit could be destroyed by the misplacement or using the wrong word. And when you put you know what I'm talking about, Todd?
Oh, I know exactly. Yeah,
the way you phrase it,
word placement, and you're right. It's all about the delivery too.
Yeah, like there are some people in comedy that their jokes aren't funny, but the way they tell them, it's funny. You know,
right.
Like Tracy Morgan. I mean, he says dirty stuff, but that way he talks, when he talks, like, you know, yeah, you know, that whole weird, you know, I just watched his Netflix special.
Yeah, I got to see it.
Yeah, Staying Alive, just last night. I actually was, for some reason.
It was pretty good.
Not even wanting to prep for tonight's show, but yeah, I watched Staying Alive, you know, it was Tracy Morgan's special. Mm-hmm. We watched Bill Hicks.
Yeah, there's a lot of comedy stuff on
there. Yeah, Bill Hicks is great.
He is my...
Oh, there's tons of comedy stuff on there.
Oh, yeah. But Bill Hicks, if you asked me or Grim Gorey, Bill Hicks might be my favorite comedian of all time. Just because he was... If he was alive today, him and Carlin, oh, my God.
Oh, I love George Carlin.
A field day with Donald
Trump.
And
Richard Pryor. He was awesome.
God. Trump. Donald Trump would be so much fodder for guys. Like, these are the people that...
Oh, my God.
He was... they were warning us about... this. And I'm not saying Trump's good or bad.
Well, not,
but
not taking any political sides. We don't normally discuss politics.
No, and we're not.
But with politics and the goings-ons, yeah, that would be great material for some of those great comedians if they were still around.
Oh my God, these guys would tear him apart. But they kind of were. Go ahead.
They would have skewered the guy.
Oh my God. I don't know. If he gets mad at Alec Baldwin, that... George Carlin would have got a hold of him, or Bill Hicks. Oh my God!
I'm surprised none of them have come out of the grave to.
Oh, well, they probably.
We're zombies when you need them.
I think they might be happy if they're dead. That they're dead now because they don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's stay on the subject. Yeah. So
Todd. Yeah. Since you're like kind of a pro now with the comedy stuff, if there's someone like taking someone else's material. What do you guys do about that? Is there some type of comics code you guys follow or some
I've never personally had that problem or heard anybody use my material but I've seen it happen in clubs and someone will go up to you and say, why are you using my material? That's my bit. And then they'll show proof that it's their bit of a YouTube video or a video they have saying I did this bit then. But it's a fine line too, because are they taking your bit or are they taking the topic of the bit and just got lucky with the same, you know, putting the words together and got it the same way?
Right.
So you got there's people out there who do it word for word. I mean, I guess Amy Schumer's been having a lot of trouble lately, where people are accusing her of that. I don't know personally if it's true, but it's supposedly she stole some Patrice O'Neill bits.
Oh wow.
He
was another one that
Carlos Mencia was famous for it.
Oh boy, yeah, there's a great. If you talk, if you want to see a very uncomfortable video, look up Joe Rogan and Carlos Mencia.
Yeah, that one.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, Janet, if you want to see what somebody does about stolen material, show her that video. And
I will.
Janet, you'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I gotta watch this.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's at one of his performances, and he goes, "You're stealing stuff," and Carlos Mencia says, "Come on up, man." And it's great because in post production, they showed side by side, you know, they showed Carlos Mencia do a certain bit and that Joe Rogan was bringing up. He goes, what about this joke? And then in post-production, they show you Carlos Mencia performing it. And then the comedian several years before, where he got it from, like the joke, you know, line for line. And it's really uncomfortable, but it's good.
It's hard to argue.
He calls it, he couldn't say anything, but it was really, really, it didn't hurt him though. I mean, the guy's still out there.
He sure is.
He's still doing this thing, man. It's. I don't think people.
Wow.
I don't think the public cares as much as the comedian, because that's a lot of work.
See, I wasn't even sure. Like, let's say you have a whole like comedic thing planned out. You've got your little script written out. You know it in your head. This whole thing you want to do. Someone else takes it word for word. Can you copyright something like that, or have it be known like, hey, it's mine?
The only time,
good question.
I've had something like since I go up after a host. If a host goes up and does like 5 to 7 minutes, and he'll hit on a topic that I was going to hit on. Like, I do a bit about Netflix, and if he goes up and does a little something about Netflix, I'll rearrange my set so that I don't do anything about Netflix. Because, you know, you don't want to double up the material on people. And but I've never had a problem with stolen material or very similar material.
But, yeah, to Janet,
mine are just, you know, day-to-day thoughts.
Yeah, observations, but then with that with that weird Todd sort of skew on things, which makes it even funnier. So to kind of answer your question from what I know, I don't know if you can copyright, but it's very frowned upon though. If you're caught doing that, because when they call it comedy gold, it really is. I mean, it's like when you write comedy, it really is. You pan through a lot of crap to find that one piece that, you know, that works. So when it does, people think, oh, if you're going to go up there, you're only going to do 20 minutes. 20 minutes of material is hard to do.
I mean.
Yeah, it is.
If you can write a 20, if you can, and off the bat, if you're, especially if you're a new comedian, if you can come up with 20 minutes of stuff, like that's almost unheard of. But so a lot of comedians, and that was when I was watching Bill Hicks last night, they showed a performance of his from probably the late 90s, and it had a lot of stuff that he used even later before he, you know, in his career, he kept all he knew, okay, I'll keep this. And there's a lot of stuff that just I've never heard of. And on some of the CDs I have that all the, you know, they compile all the good stuff on those CDs. But I've even heard live performances where of his later gigs where, yeah, he would, he took stuff from his earlier and it still worked and he kept it. You don't get rid of that stuff. A lot of comedians.
Well, yeah, if it's your own and you're just rearranging it or something.
But you keep the bits that work because they're hard to come by. You just
hang on to your bits.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you learn from here. Okay, so we're gonna we're gonna do our first break here on Living the Scream. We're talking to Todd Youngman. Can you stay up for a little bit longer, Todd?
I sure can.
Cool. Yeah, we'll talk about some more stuff. Hope you're enjoying. This edition, this Memorial Day. Mummy Memorial Day edition of
Living the Scream.
Stay tuned. Ooh, I got to say something funny.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Yeah, she wants to.
Because I'm a crazy cat lady.
Janet wants to throw a sweet 16 birthday party for her
cat. Do it. That'll be fun.
Okay, well, we're back here on Living the Scream. We're talking about comedy with good friend and comedian Todd Youngman.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, he's still on the phone with us. Hopefully, you know. Yeah, and I hope you're enjoying the show so far. So, yeah, we're just jawing it up about comedy in general because, again, we attempt to in the style of, like, Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, that cheesy kind of comedy.
Yeah, I love that. I'm obsessed with that show, as you know, Janet. I watch...
Oh, I know.
I've watched so many the same episodes over and over. I got my favorites, but...
we'll be cleaning or, like, cooking, working in the kitchen or whatever. He'll bring his little portable DVD player.
Yeah.
And it's always Mystery Science Theater.
I love it. I'm obsessed with...
It's a great show.
How they come up with that stuff. And that's the weird thing about that show, is they say people, the fans of the show, they like them making fun of the movie and not the bits that they sit there, hone, craft, and write. And they like the bits they write. You know, they work a lot on these things, and they're really funny. But
some of them are hilarious. I've got like a few of my favorites from the original series. The new ones,
Well, you know, I'm still chewing on the new one. It's not bad. I supported it. You know, I donated.
I gave up.
You gave up? Oh, you couldn't watch it?
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either.
It's not the same.
It wasn't funny.
Did you watch the original? Did you watch the original, like Joel and Mike ones from the 90s?
Absolutely. I loved it. It was one of my favorite shows. But I kind of liken it to the fact that, like, we loved it so much back then, and then it went away, and then it comes back now, and they want it, you know, to sell you on it and make you a fan again. It's just not the same. Like, there's a show called Arrested Development, which is on Netflix, and they had a great run, and then a couple years back, they tried it again, and it just didn't work for me.
It fell flat. Yeah, I enjoyed that. So Will Arnett... vehicle. Yeah, I liked it. Someone turned me onto it, and I got it, you know, Jason Bateman, right?
Oh yeah, great show.
Really, really funny, and what they did.
Such a smartly written show.
Yeah, yeah. No laugh track, which I also appreciated.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. I hate shows with laugh tracks.
Most of them, like Andy Griffith's show and Three's Company. See, that's a weird thing. Like, new shows shouldn't have laugh. Comedy shows should not have laugh. What's that?
Three's Company.
Yeah, come on, that was great stuff. That was so goofy. As a kid, I with all the innuendo and everything, that was really funny. And innuendo.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, James. If we're going to get into TV,
yeah.
I was just telling my kids the other night because they're watching some shit on TV. I'm sorry, are you allowed to swear?
That's fine. I don't care.
You can beep it if you want.
Yeah.
But we're watching something, and I'm like, this is horrible. TV's horrible now. There's nothing. There's no good lineups. So I started telling him about my Tuesday night in the late 70s, which was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, followed by Three's Company and Taxi.
Yep.
That's an awesome lineup.
I watched,
they're all great shows.
One of my favorites from back then, and it still holds up, is Archie Bunker, is All in the Family.
Oh.
That show, even to this day when you watch it, it's kind of uncomfortable.
Very controversial, like ahead of its time, like... And some of the news shows wouldn't even say some of the stuff.
No, they try to.
Yeah.
They try to, and it's almost desperate the way
it's too forced.
Yeah.
It's too phony. Silly. There's no, like chutzpah or whatever.
Best put-down show, though, came out of the late 80s, was Married with
Children.
Well,
I was going to actually, you beat me to it. I was going to say that's my all-time favorite sitcom, Married with Children. And I was like a little kid
in
the 80s and 90s. Yeah. And some of the jokes I didn't get to later on. But
man, that show
I'd sit with my mom and watch it.
It's hilarious. It's still messed up. I mean, the great put-down show.
And I love how they were just like so demented and all hated each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an awesome lineup. I mean, I would even watch Taxi when they would do repeats at reruns later on. Like at 11:30, they would come on before, I think, Big Chuck and Little John, when they switch them to midnights. Taxi would come on before them. I remember that.
But
watch that too. Yeah, and everyone could, you know I might be one of the only people that that I don't like Seinfeld. I just never watched it. But Michael Richards reminds me of Jim from Taxi for some reason, and I thought that was kind of a little bit of a bite. But yeah, I'm probably more.
Tell you, it's funny to prove how much you and I are alike. I maybe watched two episodes of Seinfeld.
Maybe.
And I have to spend so many times where you're with people and they'll be like, oh, like in that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
And you got to be like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to say you didn't watch it, then they'll be like, Well, you never watched Seinfeld?
Yeah, I'm in that camp too. You got me beat. I might have seen one episode all the way through. And it's not that it's probably a great show.
It is a good show. And it's one of those guilty pleasures where it's kind of dumb, but I found it entertaining. I thought it was funny.
I was like, enough people like it. They don't need me to like it. I don't know.
I don't doubt it was funny. I'm sure it was funny. It just didn't appeal to me. Right. Like, I'll watch Curb Your Enthusiasm all day long. I didn't get into it.
Yeah, Larry David, man, that guy. There's another guy that's just, he's made out of funny. It's weird. It's like, you know?
Yep.
It's just, there's some people are just made out of this, out of the stuff that they're
and into. Now he's made out of money.
Oh, boy. Big time. Yeah, but that just made him more paranoid and weird. And it's like, he makes fun of all that stuff. But that's weird. Seinfeld is a Larry David produced show, right? Written show, right?
He wrote it. I don't think he was a producer back then, but he was a head writer.
But a writer, okay, yeah. Saturday Night Live is another show that used to be really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And
which one?
Saturday Night Live. I can never say that right.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday Night Live. There you go. SNL. How about that?
It is hard to say.
Yeah, I got a marble mouth anyway, but. Yeah, so that's, I mean, you never want to, the problem with talking about this stuff, you don't want to sound like the old guy. My shows were better.
Back in my day,
this rock and roll was, I had the better music. Well, that's true, too, even music side. That's a whole different discussion. But, but comedy, you'd think, I don't know, maybe all the jokes have been told, but I don't think so. I think there's got to be a way to approach
it. There's a whole new generation of great comics coming out right now.
Who's some of your favorite new ones? Anyone new that's
Joe List. I love Joe List. He's actually coming to we're actually opening a new club here.
Oh.
And Joe's going to be here in August. I love a guy named Mark Normand. Mark is great. Joe Mackey.
Mm.
There's a lot of people. But there's like this new breed of late 20s, early 30s comics that are really hitting hard right now.
Hey, when people are, if any Rochester people listening in Rochester, New York right now, if they want to catch your act or see you, how can they find you?
The club, I'm actually part of a group of people that are opening a new club in here in Rochester called Comedy at the Carlson. And we're opening up in June, brand new club. And they can catch me there. I just go on our website, carlsoncomedy.com, and you can see who's coming and if I'm on the show.
You got a stake in this club?
I don't have a financial stake on it, but I'm helping him all aspects of marketing and social media.
Medium rare?
Awesome. Yeah, see, he's putting his art degree to work. Yay.
I heard putting
it together.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, yeah.
Janet, oh boy.
Sorry.
I know. She's.
I only know bad jokes.
But they work, though. That's why people love you out there. But that's cool, man. Thanks for the info on the up-and-coming comics. People check them out, and also... if you're in the Rochester area,
if you're not from New York and you're just kind of listening and you want to like hear more Todd Youngman, or do you have any videos out online that people can watch?
There's one. My one man show is on YouTube. Mm-hmm. That's about it. And other than my very first stand up attempt, that's on YouTube as well. I don't put my material on YouTube because it's out there and. Back to what we were talking about, it could be stolen. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of paranoid.
Yeah.
So if people want to see me and hear me, they can friend me on Facebook where I post stuff that I find funny. And also you can see my videos and audio there.
Yeah. A couple of friends, mutual friends, we drove up to see that one man show Todd did. It was a tribute to his mom.
Aww.
That was so nice of you guys to come up.
I couldn't wait, man. As soon as I heard that, we were making plans. And I think you had to move it one time. We're like, we gotta, reschedule it.
Yeah, I had to move it.
That's cool though. We were like, we were ready, man. We got together. And we got to see. Todd didn't even know we were there.
No, I didn't. Not the whole show. After the show, you guys came walking up to me. I thought I was gonna die. Very emotional. I mean, it was an emotional night as it was, and then to see three of your best friends from college show up out of nowhere.
Was
great.
That was
you
great.
Didn't bring Janet with you.
No.
I had to work, so I wasn't happy about that.
Stupid work, Marge.
Yeah.
You gotta get out of that work.
That was at a different job that was terrible.
That's the only impression I think I could do really good is Homer Simpson. But
you know what I gotta say to you guys? you keep saying that you're attempting to do certain things. Well, like we're attempting to do this. You guys aren't attempting. You're doing it. Don't say you're attempting it. You guys are actually doing it, and you're doing a great job.
Thanks. We're just being modest, but who knows? It's all pretty, you know. I'm just sure a lot of people out there don't think George Carlin's funny. You know, there's people out there that we're just being a little.
No, nobody's. Not everybody's going to love you.
No.
I want you guys to know that you're actually doing it. I can see you're putting in the hard work, the videos, the podcast. You're constantly promoting. Promoting's key. You know.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing a great job of it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and
thank you.
And so are you as well. Yeah, we're really all. I mean, and it's funny that we're kind of blooming late in life here. Both, you know, how we're like.
So did I.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're like so this little group of people that you know. And, yeah, exactly. That we're and it's fun to watch. You know, you turn. You know, getting more and more well known in the area and around there, around the whole area. Have you been out of town? You have been out of town. You've done some stand up in Vegas.
I've done Vegas, Chicago, Miami, Phoenix,
jeez,
New York City, and Buffalo, Syracuse. You know, right around there.
Dang! Well, there you go. Wow.
Well, maybe maybe we'll be traveling more soon too.
Yeah, I'd love to come up and see an act, man, for sure. I'd like to bring, and I'll bring Janet.
Sure you will.
Hey, bring me.
Do your kids influence you? If you go on Todd's Facebook, they occasionally, and you could probably go scroll back into the
posts
news
are
feed.
Great.
He does the thing where he sings in the car with his daughter, and called
cartoons.
And it's really funny. What they do is they sort of karaoke or sing over, you know. You sing with the track, but you do a little.
Yeah, sometimes we lip sync. Sometimes we sing. My daughter's got a really good voice. So
yep, she's in.
Sometimes we sing, and most of the time we just lip sync.
Yeah, you lip sync to a song, but it's very animated, though. It's not just you know.
Yeah.
The facial expressions and everything are what make it because it's
I love
just
that.
Funny.
That's always a fun little pick me up.
She's so funny. Her expression.
Oh man, yeah, you yeah. Toby, your son, is a little more low key, right? As far as that goes.
Yeah, Toby's more low-key. That's not his thing to do, but he's funny as all get out, you know, very funny, and he's very smart. So, but when it comes to, like, writing material about my kids, I go with my daughter for material because, Janet, you can probably attest to it, having a teenage daughter, there's a lot of comedy there, right? When you were a teenager, you remember that?
Yes, yeah. Being a teenager.
Were you a handful?
Especially, teenage girls were terrible.
Yeah, so it's easy to write material, and she actually writes material with me. So
nice.
If I go up there and I do a joke about my daughter, like I do a joke about her being so pretty, and the guys are coming around now.
Oh boy.
And instead of you know my wife and I, we were smart that when she was a baby, we didn't potty train her because that was always my rule. If a girl shit in my car, I took her right home. And she helped me write that.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's wow. Yeah, that could be. Well, it depends what you're into. You could mess up, and the guy could be into scat or something. Uh-oh. Then what do you do? Oops. Oops.
Unless she has really big boobs, then you make do.
Oh, make do. Man. So that's great. So your kid, you know, your kids kind of give you some material, you know, help you with the material. Where do you think you find the most inspiration? Is it just everyday stuff or?
Everyday stuff. I look around and I'll sit in a restaurant and I'll listen to conversations that are in earshot and just hear how people interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I keep my eyes moving. I post pictures of things I find on the ground.
Oh, I love
and people
those.
Are like, oh, you set that up. And I'm like, yeah, I just drive around with a trunk full of crap and put it on the ground and take a picture. But there's a quote by Mel Brooks who says, it says comedy's all around you. You just got to keep your eyes open.
Ah.
And it's so true. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, look at our White House.
Oh, geez. Not yet. It's on Twitter. Good Lord. What the hell? Anyway, well, I guess
anyways, we don't get political.
Anyway. But yeah, that is very true. The material
it's everywhere.
There is but it is. I find it all the time. I I'm always, you know me, baby. I'm always joking.
Yeah, and there's so much doom and gloom and so much crap that goes on in the world too, where you need some funny type of relief and to kind of lighten.
But
lighten things.
Another thing I think, and I think Todd and I have in common, we like to make people laugh. We get off. It's fun to watch somebody just, you know, laugh their ass off.
You were saying me and really, we were dating.
There's a little bit of a I don't make you laugh anymore.
No, not
just when we were dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got married. That changed everything. Boom. Yeah.
Sure does.
Well, yeah, but you've been married for how long, Todd? How long have you been married?
We've been married 20 years, and when people, you know, say, oh, they say to my wife, Petra, they say, your husband's so funny, you must laugh all the time. And she's like, oh, yeah, the laugh riot around here.
Laugh a minute. Yeah, but yeah, it's this visceral reaction you get from just making somebody at least feel good for even a few seconds, laughing anyway. There's other ways to make people feel good for a few seconds. But
absolutely. I just did a retirement party a couple weeks ago, and a woman came up to me who had been going through chemotherapy for like the past 4 or 5 weeks, I think she told me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was her first time out since starting the chemo. And she thanked me for, you know, because she laughed so hard, and she thanked me for making her laugh because she didn't think she would ever laugh again. And that as a comic makes you feel so good that you went up there and you made someone's night.
Right. That is, you know? That's got to be humbling and satisfying.
It really was.
Yeah. All at the same time. Yeah. Who would you say you got your sense of humor from in your mom, your dad, or both? Or uncle, or, you know, I mean, that type of
thing. It's more my mom, but I also think a lot of my humor comes from everybody I've come across in my life, like even with you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we gelled with that, and we were constantly writing bits, and, you know, even when we weren't doing phone calls, we would be busting each other up.
Oh.
So I feel like you get material from everybody you come across.
Right. And everything you do. Yeah, and some of his funniest material, Todd's material, is stuff to do with his mom. His mom was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Yeah. I see a lot of that in at least what inspired you to give you ideas.
Yeah, she did.
She had an interesting way to, view of the world and people.
She did. And like I described her in my one man show as a 5-foot-tall Archie Bunker with a vagina.
Yep. I was going to say, I hope he says that, and there it goes. That's true.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's what she was like. She didn't care what she was saying. And people are always like, oh, it's a generational thing. People of that age group, they just say whatever they want. But my mom was just one of those people that was funny without even trying to be funny, you know?
Yeah, and I would say my mom the same way. I mean, I didn't have a dad around growing up. Just had my mom, right. but I'm happy that she. I mean, that's where I get my sense of humor from. And you
see that
every time we go to.
Anytime you guys go out together, if we go and take her out for breakfast or go to the store, like they are so funny together.
But
it gets silly, right?
Yeah, and she says stuff that
she'll say like
shocks
some,
me.
Some stuff that I don't think moms would say.
My God, yeah, it's like really, mom. Jeez, but that's what's fun. But I think it's hilarious. I mean, to me, it's That brutal honesty, or that, you know.
I think a lot of, well, for the most part, I think everyone has like that one relative where they say things that are shocking, or they just don't care. Like, they just say it like it is.
I know there's a time to say things. I still struggle with that, you know, because I'm really bad. I'm a loose lips, you know, type of guy.
Yeah.
And, but man, I mean.
We'll be out and he'll be like, oh, look at that guy. Or he'll say some comment about what someone's wearing. And I think he thinks that he's whispering.
Oh.
But the person can hear him.
Whatever.
So I'm like, shh, I can hear you.
But I don't, and I don't do it to be cruel, but I just think, you know.
But we go people watching and it's no malice, you know, intended. Just kind of, you know, riffing on people watching when we're out in public.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly. I've seen him do it before.
Well, I can't help it.
We need to do it together.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Comedy's all around me. I'm not gonna acknowledge it. Sorry.
James and I could walk around and make fun of people because we're both so perfect.
Right. Exactly. So we're so beautiful and perfect that
you guys are perfect. So just handsome. Ask you.
Yeah. To this day,
one of my favorite things that James used to do is when we'd be walking around or walking back and forth to school. If somebody were, you see somebody bending over at like Market Square, he'd make a fart noise with his mouth.
He still does.
Great.
I still do that.
He does that to me.
But Todd is like one of these, he's an X-Men that didn't make the team. He had a power where he could make the fart sound underneath his armpit. That was the funniest. Yeah. So we'd be in an elevator and he'd put his hands underneath his shirt and.
That was the best.
Oh my
God.
Remember that? Oh, yeah. I never forget that. Yeah. I was like, oh, I wish I could do that.
Were people looking around like, who did that?
Yeah, of course. It's just just crack up.
Janet, the best part was, you know, I would do it.
People and then know.
One of the people we were with would take credit. They'd be like, oh, excuse me, I had a lot of fruit last night. Yeah, you know, like, jammed in this elevator.
It's probably like, and that's a whole other show. We could talk about the people that we went to school with. Man, there were some characters. And,
they sure were.
And they cracked us. I mean, there was this constant thing. There were levels that I didn't cross in college. All the flashing. That went on.
Oh yeah,
and it wasn't girls.
That's a whole other show too.
Frontals, we called those. You'd be we won't name names, but you'd be working on your art project or whatever at your desk, and then one of these fellas who we know very well would go, "Hey Jane, what are you working on?" You turn around and his junk's just right there.
Oh jeez.
And it's like, oh man,
ew.
Really? It's hilarious, and it is like hands on his hips, laughing like it was funny. Like, dude,
nowadays you couldn't do anything like that.
Oh, so we're so sensitive, but that stuff.
You know, we used to sit bare ass on Scott's pillow too.
Open eyes, but yeah, all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, we would push it, and but I would never do that. I was like, man, you guys got me on that one. I can't. Yeah.
You got me.
I can't do it. You know. I don't know. It would be nice. I maybe it was just because I didn't want anyone to see. You know, to see him.
Your penis.
Yeah, my penile. my pineal gland.
Jeez.
Your penilopolis.
Yeah, and I'm half black and half white. And if I pull my pants out, it would just prove that I'm half white. It wouldn't It wouldn't.
Sorry,
really...
Janet.
Sorry, Janet. Oh boy, man, I'll tell you. So good times. We had some fun, and we still have fun.
We did.
Which is great. You know, I love seeing that you climb that ladder, man. And I do you have any? You don't have to reveal any, but do you have a plan or any kind of aspirations to take this to be? Obviously, you want to write stuff.
I'd like to get a writing credit, you know, with a comic headliner who has a Netflix special or a Comedy Central special and be a part of that.
Because
I'm 48 now. Where am I going? I should have really started 20 years ago and built this up more. But I should have.
But you're very youthful looking. You can pull off.
Thank you.
Listen though, but
he moisturizes.
That's another thing a lot of people
moisturize.
Yeah. With what? I don't know.
Oh my.
So, but
oh dear.
That's another thing about comedy. Not that I'm the maven of comedy, but I know a lot about comedy. But that's another thing that if you don't know, a lot of stand-ups have writers when they do specials and things like that. Other people collaborate
with
other comedians to get like the cream of the crop of jokes.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You're bigger, like your Kevin Hart, your Eddie Murphy had the Wayans brothers write those Delirious and Raw specials with them.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote with them. It wasn't like they wrote the whole thing.
Right, right.
But when you're big and you can afford the writers, you can do that.
Yeah, because you try
like a pop singer having a writer or something.
And that's nice.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and that just shows you that they care. They want you, that money you spend to go see them is going to everything should be good. It should be the best stuff you can do, material. And your delivery is going to sell the joke. I mean, if your delivery sucks, then it doesn't matter how funny the material is.
It
don't work.
Exactly.
And anyone knows that when they try to tell a joke and they don't tell it right. You know, just a standard joke, you know, that like in anything. There are people that can tell the hell out of a, like Jackie the Joke Man. I just saw recently you post a picture with that fellow that used to write for Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Was that recent or was that an old picture?
That was Jackie last year. He was in town to do a show a weekend, and I happened to be there for a Wednesday night show with a friend of mine doing a show, and he came in to watch the show, and then he came up and chatted with me and got to talk about all the old Stern days because I'm a huge fan. And then about a month later, I worked with him at a casino here locally. So, it was fun.
He,
meeting people that I never thought I would meet.
That's crazy. And you're so nonchalant about it, man. I'm sure you flip out about it, though. Like, when you go, I can't believe I'm
inside, dying. I'm flipping out.
Yeah. You have to, because these are the people.
You and I are both Stern fans, and to meet somebody who was a part of that team that was so funny all those years and made us laugh.
Yeah.
And then to be able to pick his brain and talk about those years was it was incredible. We talked for over an hour.
Yeah, they carved out a whole new way to do talk radio, you know, and syndicate right. the program and make it palatable for audiences outside of just the area that they're, you know, coming out of New York. But yeah, but I'm talking about any of the comedians that you work with. You post these pictures of some of these people. I'm like, wow, you got to rub elbows with this one or that one. That's got to be really cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yep, I'll bet, man. I'll bet.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's kind of like when we go to these conventions and we run into these B-movie actors or these old TV legends from...
You guys got to love that.
Well, my big flip out was
your favorite one?
Tom Sullivan, the artist that came up with all the designs and the monsters for the Evil Dead movie. He's just sitting in a room full of his stuff and you can just go talk to him. That blew my mind the first time I saw that.
And you went over and chatted to him?
Yeah, we were friends on Facebook. We hang out with him at Wasteland, and he's a nice guy.
That's great.
I've known him since about 2008. Going to Cinema Wasteland almost 10 years. Yeah, okay. 10 years now. And he's so humble, so kind.
Yeah. He sells his art prints, and he has a bunch of props that he actually sculpted for Evil Dead. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Todd, but it's one of those
movies.
Yeah, I mean, everybody probably has.
He worked on the first two Evil Dead movies, the special effects. He actually designed the Book of the Dead. He did the makeup for, like, the Deadites special effects.
And he does design on the new Ash versus the Evil Dead show, too.
He did supply some props for Ash versus Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. And then he did some props for the Evil Dead musical.
Oh, that's right.
And then he does illustrations for some book companies.
You got birds
like
back
that.
There?
Do we have what?
I'm hearing birds. Birdies? I remember something...
Oh, I'm walking around outside, yeah.
Oh, well, there's like Tweety birds from Rochester. That's cool.
Yeah, the whole time I was talking with you, I was in my car. I just got out of my car, and now I'm walking around with the birds.
Oh,
Uncle Remus.
Well, zippity-doo-dah. What are you wearing? What are you wearing, Todd?
No pants and a t-shirt. I look like Donald Duck.
Nice. That's a good look, I tell you.
We're
in our jammies.
Refreshing.
Yeah, we're just lounging around once again.
When are you going to do your nude show?
Oh, we got close to it.
We were in our underpants. Was it last episode?
Underpants.
Yeah. Underpants. Yes.
In my slacks. Now we're wearing slacks, not underpants. Trousers.
Underpants. That's my favorite word.
Underpants.
Oh, it's so because think about it, like if you're in like the throes of passion with somebody and you want to say, "Oh, take off your underpants," It doesn't work.
It's not a sexy word.
It's not very sexy.
Take off your drawers. I like comb drawers.
I didn't want to say I was sitting around in my panties.
Panties. I thought that was a word women don't like.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird word. Moist. It has more of a sexy thing to it.
Panties and moist are too.
Moist.
Why is panties such a bad word?
I love that word.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it maybe has more of a sexy tone.
I call them cookie wrapper.
Jeez.
Hey. I like that.
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense because you're using a wrap cookie, but whatever.
It's got a nice ring to it.
It does. Anyway, well, I mean, do you have anything else for Todd? We're getting kind of close to the end of the show here.
I can't think of anything else right now, but thank you for joining us, Todd. This has been a fun
conversation. Thanks for having me.
You anything you want to end with or tell the people out there who's listening? Or
no, not really.
There you go. Well, I'll play one of our prank phone calls from college after this, and we'll go out with
a good one.
Yeah, I'll pick a good one, and then we'll end with that. And I don't. Who knows what we're having in store for next week's show? But we want to thank Todd Youngman for joining us.
Oh, wait a second! Whoa. Can I make a request?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, when you do play, I mean, play one of me and you, but you also got to play your Bat Jack one.
Oh, Bat Jack. Is that clean or dirty? I have to listen to it.
You might have to edit.
I think I have to edit some of that stuff. Is that the one where with the Chinese food? Chinese?
You want
to
go to the movie?
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I can find that one. Yeah, it's just this weird.
This is Jag.
What's up? It's Jag. Jag.
Bat. Have you heard these phone calls?
I have heard some of these, and they are hilarious. Right.
Yeah.
He's played other prank phone calls. Who were those? Some of them were kind of, I don't remember who the guys were.
These were other, like, obscure other things. Like, Mark, this guy would call up and tell people his name was Mark Knopfler.
Yeah, I didn't like those. They were kind of mean.
I love, but they're fun.
The ones of you and Todd were like fun. They were like stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, there's different styles.
And I don't like the mean prank phone
calls. Style was to annoy people, and that was, and I think we did a good job of that.
I still don't believe Janet's real.
Well, we'll have to work on that. you will meet her in the flesh one day.
I'm for real. Yes, it's a real girl.
It's not one of my voices, Todd. It's definitely a real girl.
Until I share a hug with her, it's not real.
Hey, so you got a check? Or, I mean, how are we going to settle this up? I mean, you take cash.
Okay.
We're still on the air.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I didn't know this was on. That old chestnut.
That crap.
Whoopsie.
Oops. Yeah, we don't do that either. Oh my God.
Oh, hi there. I didn't see you.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, that's been done too many times. Picking your nose and I didn't know the camera was. Okay, whatever. Sure. Anyway. But, man, thanks for joining us, Todd. We really appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. And congratulations to all the fun and success you're having. I'm really enjoying watching you guys. It's great.
And same to you. Congratulations.
Same to you. Thank you.
On your success. And we're gonna be watching you, man. We want to see what you do next, what you say next. And if you want to hear this guy, we want to read what he said. Check him out on Facebook. Todd Youngman.
Todd Youngman. Or just Google it.
Yes. It's fun.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about underpants.
Yeah,
yes, and panties.
That's right. And maybe
panties.
I think the next time we chat with you, neighbor Brian will be in the room. So.
In the his
house. That guy. Wow.
Yeah, he should talk. Yeah, I'm sure you
that's a character.
I'm just gonna step back and let those two go at it. I think
they're gonna do like a show takeover.
What?
I don't have anything to say to that guy. That guy's all energy.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Hey, you guys take care.
Love you, man. And
love you guys.
All right, we'll see you around. And thanks, everyone, for listening to
Living the Scream.
That's right. So we're going to play a prank phone call, and we'll see you next time here on
Living the Scream. That was a pathetic scream.
That's okay.
But check us out on themummyandthemonkey.com or on Facebook, The Mummy and the Monkey. Or Janet Decay, or the Thrift Script store. We can do the store as well.
Damn right. Okay, guys, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy. Called this easier to say. It's easier to say, girl. I said it's easier to say than do.
Hello.
What's up?
Nothing.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. Who's this?
Welcome back.
Who is this?
Bat Jack.
Who?
Jack.
I don't know Jack.
Yeah, it's Rusty there.
No, you must have the wrong phone number.
Who's this?
Natalie.
Kazzy?
Huh?
Is this Kazzy?
No, this is Natalie.
Who? Natalie?
Yeah.
Like on Facts of Life?
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, like that.
Are you that fat?
No.
Oh, just kidding. Is Rusty there?
No, this is Jill in Natalie's room. I think you have the wrong phone number.
Oh, what are you doing? How was your summer?
It was fine. How was yours?
Pretty wild. I stayed here all f***ing summer.
Oh, that's no fun.
Nah, did you see Batman?
No.
It was f***ing good. You didn't see it.
Excuse I'm sorry. Me. I'll make a point to see it.
Okay, you better.
I will, I promise.
Hey, can I take you to go see it?
Can you take me to see it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I hope you don't mind. I only have one arm.
I don't mind.
You sure?
I'm sure.
I have two arms.
Well, that makes it convenient.
What grade are you in?
I'm a junior.
Are you? You were here last year?
I have been here the last 2 years.
Oh, I might have seen you.
Maybe.
Yeah. When are you going to be a senior?
Next year.
That is if you pass.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Excuse me. Hey, listen, that was for you. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Give me one bag.
Give you your what?
Give me a kiss bag.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right, you have a nice night.
All right, you too. I can't wait to taste your p- juice.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Good night.
Bye.